Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont at large, the only one, the only congressman in Vermont in office since 2007. Hey, Peter, what do you got going with President Trump? Yeah, he's been signing your bills.
Well, that's good. Yeah, we got a few signed. You know, the robocall, two bills in particular, the robocall bill that a lot of us were sponsoring. You know, I got more complaints from Vermonters about these horrendous, constant robocalls.
It never stops. Yeah.
Never stops. And it gets you on your cell phone where you think people don't even know your number. It gets you at home. And we had a lot of folks talking about just how disruptive that was. One couple in particular, they're older, they're frail in their health, but really vital in their spirit. And it was always a big deal for them to get up and answer the phone. Most of the time they thought it was a robocall, but it might have been one of their kids. It might have been a grandson or granddaughter.
Sure. Yeah.
And you just can't take the chance that that call is the one where somebody wants to say hello, tell grandma they love you, or they need you. And the president signed that bill, and I'm delighted about that. The other is that bipartisan bill I've been working on with Gus Bilirakis from Florida is to promote tourism, Brand USA. And, you know, we're not getting our share of foreign travel. And it's in part, I think, because of all the rhetoric about immigration and how a lot of that presidential presidential rhetoric is scaring people. Brand USA is a program where we get some money from a little surcharge on visas, and the industry puts up significant in-kind contributions, and it's used to promote the U.S. as a destination for foreign travelers. And it's a big boost in our economy. It helps every single part of the country. Big places like Florida that have a huge travel industry, but also smaller places like Vermont, where our folks depend on tourism to create a lot of jobs and showcase Vermont. So we had the president sign those two, and I feel really good about that. Now, there's a prescription drug legislation that we passed in the House that I've been working on with Elijah Cummings for years, and that's the most significant drug legislation passed since I've been in Congress. It would reduce the price of prescription drugs over 10 years by $500 billion by giving the government authority to negotiate prices. And that's stalled in the Senate. Mitch McConnell doesn't like it, but that's the one I really hope gets to his desk.
Why doesn't Mitch McConnell like it?
Because the drug companies don't like it. It's pretty simple.
So if this thing passes, it could mean a whole sea change on the way we pay for our prescriptions.
Well, it could, and it also, it would just make it so that we didn't get ripped off. You know, President Trump has always said the right thing on prescription drugs. He says we're getting ripped off. He says it's not fair, we're suckers, that in the United States we pay four, five, six times the average cost that, for the same drug that people in all other countries pay.
Canada.
And it's outrageous, and he gets it. But pharma still has a lot of power, but for the first time, we passed a price negotiation drug in the House of Representatives. So that's a big deal. And frankly, I think that if the president grabbed this issue and came forward on it, it would put a lot of pressure on the Senate to pass it.
Okay, so now let me ask you about this. You won the House. You've had some great victories, the Democrats have. Are you going to hold it? Is there a possibility you could lose it? And if you do lose it, what will the reason be?
Well, I think we will hold it, and I'll tell you why. There's a couple of things. One, I'm really impressed with my new colleagues. We had a number of people who won in districts that President Trump won. And even though they were in precarious seats, tough seats, those folks all voted for impeachment. And they did it because after Ukraine, they came to the honest conclusion that that's what the Constitution required them to do. But they really spent a lot of time talking to the people they represent, listening to the people they represent, explaining the process they went through to come to the decision that they made. So what I'm seeing in that is that these are folks these members, are very respectful of the people that they represent, and they take very seriously their obligation both to listen and to explain what they're doing. And I think what they're doing is creating confidence among those people that they represent, that they're straightforward, they're honest, and they're going to do their best. And by doing so, even some of those folks that may disagree with the decision that these members of Congress made, they have a sense it was an on-the-level decision. So I think those folks have just established themselves as very, very good public servants to the people they represent.
I want to ask you real quickly, in Vermont politics, Lieutenant Governor David Zuckerman announced that he'll challenge Governor Scott this year. So
that's right.
Have you spoken to him about it? And is it time to have a Democratic governor again?
Well, he called me and just gave me a heads up that he was going to be announcing today. And, of course, we have a Democratic primary. Rebecca Holcomb is also running. So we've got two folks running for the Democratic nomination. Governor Scott has been very popular. It's going to be a spirited race.
So is there a particular thing that Zuckerman or his opponent in the primary are going to have to worry about here, other than the fact that, you know, the Republican governor is just popular?
It's so early in the campaign. I mean, the primary will be in August. So the first order of business for the Democrats is who will they nominate? Rebecca Holcomb, who used to be our Secretary of Education, or David Zuckerman, our Lieutenant Governor. And even before we get through that, most of the focus on Vermont politics is going to be the legislative session. And the campaigns, both campaigns will be working really hard, but I think you won't see a lot of Vermonter interest in them until probably after the legislative session ends.
So, Peter Welch, this is going to be a Trump year in Vermont, and you'll also have a gubernatorial election, right?
Yes, it is.
And will that affect the gubernatorial election? And in other words, I wouldn't want to be a Republican governor right now running in 2020.
I think it will. I think there'll be a big turnout all around the country, and including in Vermont. But my experience with Vermonters is that whatever the national trend is, Vermonters make independent decisions. So it's not just, you know, Trump didn't do well in our state. It's like 70-30 or so. But Scott won. So I think you'll see the Democratic candidates understanding that they've got to make their own case about what they want to do as governor, not just rely on what they think may happen in the presidential race. So it's just really early, and both of those are good. On the Democratic side, they're both two experienced public servants, and they're going to have an opportunity to start making that case.
Well, Congressman Peter Welch, we are, as always, grateful to you and beholden to you for showing up and talking to us. It really does a great deal for the Congressional Corner, and we appreciate it.
I love being on the Congressional Corner. Thank you, Alan.